Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back inside the Joe Rose Show. Time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, where you can shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. On the line right now is Radio.com Sports NBA insider Brian Scalabrine, co-host of Scal and Pals, an all-NBA podcast. Subscribe to Scal and Pals today wherever you get your favorite podcast. Joe?
Brian, good morning, man. Thanks for coming on with us. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. Thanks. Hey, I got to ask you before we get going about your podcast, Scal and Pals.
Yes.
They got real popular all of a sudden. Like, everybody's doing one. Tell me about it.
Yeah, I don't know why that is. It probably has something to do with selling commercial spots or something like that, but the podcast form's a little different. When we get on, like, what we're doing and focusing on right now is getting guests that are going to be in the bubble in Orlando, players, executives, coaches, right, and then eventually, you know, like some executives that aren't in the bubble as well, and just to see, like, how are they operating as far as, like, you know, it's still an off season for a team and all the things that they need to do to gear up for next season. We had Bob Myers on, and he was discussing some of the challenges of the Warriors, right? How can they be a championship caliber team next year when ideally they'd take a young player that can help out? But, you know, young players it's hard to come in and be championship ready your first year. So it's focused on that right now. And then once play starts in Orlando, then we'll focus on the game. We got a sort of a gambling element to it, which people seem to really be into because people are sitting around at home wanting to do something, wanting to, you know, make something more of what the games are. So that's our focus so far, and you're right. Everyone does have a podcast, but no podcast is like Scal and Pals.
No, you can't be Scal and Pals. That's a different deal. All right, Brian. So I was surprised yesterday to find out we still got a handful of guys still not sure if they're going to play. I thought that list was either you're in or you're out. But Oladipo, Bradley Beal, Dwight Howard. I guess Lou Williams is, they're saying he's going to play, but we haven't really heard. What are your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah, I am a little bit surprised on why guys are opting out. Now, when it comes to guys on fringe teams, let's use the Nets for an example. Guys are opting out left and right. The Nets aren't going anywhere. They'll go play their eight games, and they'll get beat in the first round, whether it be by Toronto or Milwaukee. Hey, I understand that. But when you're talking about guys like Avery Bradley, who's a critical piece to what the Lakers are doing, they don't have many perimeter defenders. They need a guy like Avery Bradley to defend. I would think that LeBron's weight and his power would overrun that. Say, hey, Avery, I know you're worried. We'll do whatever it takes to make it so you're not going to put your son in this tough situation moving forward. But and another one would be like the Lou Williams with Doc Rivers. I've played for Doc in Boston. I'm surprised that his allegiance to Doc would not ultimately make his decision a lot easier. And it's not just Doc. It's the organization. It's Kawhi Leonard. Right. It's Paul George. Clippers gave up a ton to get those guys to make a run for the championship, and they need Lou Williams. So really interesting this who opts out, who stays in. But the Avery Bradley and Lou Williams, I look at it like the Lakers are going to play the Clippers in the Western Conference Finals, and both those guys will play a key role.
That's right. The other one is Dwight Howard, who's actually – kind of done a nice job in his minutes for the Lakers. He's talking about not knowing because I guess the mother of one of his kids had passed away. He's got a 6-year-old. But, boy, you know they're going to do everything possible to help Dwight Howard out because they need him, right?
Yeah, no question. Just when you're trying to win a championship, you need a lot of tools in your belt. And Dwight Howard has been excellent for them as a rim runner. I guess he's the best version of what he was in Orlando, you know, run that high pick and roll, dive to the basket. And shot blocking, rebounding, he's always been a force in those areas. So my ultimate belief is Dwight Howard will eventually go. But, you know, that's a tough situation. You know, you have a – if think about it. You're a player. You have a six-year-old. Now, I wish that they can make some exceptions for the scenario. Now, I get it. It's all about safety and everything like that, but I think that Dwight Howard, he should have a petition, and I think, and it's not just like anybody can have this, but in his situation, his mother, his six-year-old son's mother just died. He's watching the kid. He can't just bail on him right now.
Right.
I feel like that should be an exception. Like, this kid should be allowed to go in the bubble and experience whatever it is and hang out. And I get it. Like, it's the NBA, and when you make one exception for one, it's others. But this is, like, an extreme circumstance, and it'd be really good for the NBA to have a conversation and allow him to bring his son in this tough time for him.
Hey, Damian Lillard was pretty interesting yesterday, saying he doesn't believe that all those young guys are going to follow all the rules and regulations, that he goes, it's just not going to happen. You put all those guys together, it's not going to happen. Even though they know what's at stake, do you believe that, or do you think the veteran leadership will be able to control guys that might get a little bit of a wild hair?
Yeah, so I think just the top teams, the elite teams, you look at teams with a major discipline, I don't know if those guys will sneak out. I think when you think about the Lakers, LeBron has a lot at stake. Giannis and his free agency coming up in 2 years, but a lot of conversations about him signing the Supermax. And if he goes to his team, like, guys, I need you. I need every single one of you players to be disciplined and make sacrifices during this time. I think people would respect that. But you start going down the list of teams that are just kind of biding their time and they're there. I could see those guys eventually sneaking out. But if you have, I always say this, as a player, like, coaches were great. And I think they're smart and they motivate teams. But what's the biggest motivator is not letting down your superstar, not letting down your guy who's playing for his legacy. And so when you think about Giannis, LeBron, Even looking, Philadelphia is an interesting one because their two best players are very young and they don't have the cachet from a leadership standpoint as these other guys. But, you know, Boston with Kemba Walker. Kemba Walker went to Boston for this moment. All of a sudden, you know, guys are going to be letting down Kemba Walker. I don't think that's what's going to be. Now, if they were going to let down their coach or let down their organization or let down their city, I could see how that could happen. But to me, the ultimate is not letting down your main superstar player who's playing for legacy.
Yeah. Hey, Brian, you know, it's been interesting, and I find myself, since we do radio every day here, kind of listen to what everybody has to say on every team. And I got to tell you, one of the cleanest teams, and it's not just because they're in this market, but that's why I'm bringing it up, the Miami Heat have been all about, hey, we can't wait to play, the conditioning, we're going to be in great shape, we trust our coaches, we're hungry, we're committed. Every guy from Bam Adebayo, the Dragon came out yesterday, all these guys talking about can't wait to get to this tournament. How much is that going to help them? They just seem like they're mentally and emotionally as prepared as anybody getting ready for this thing.
Yeah, I think they're a team that I would not want to face if I was in the Eastern Conference. And it's one of these things where, you know how, like, the sexy word in the NBA right now is culture. Everyone, like the Knicks, they talk about the culture. Everyone talks about culture, right? But in a time like this, it's you'll really get to test that culture. And for the Miami Heat, that culture runs deep, man. That is years and years of guys walking in, you know, 1% over body fat, you ain't playing, and you better stay on top of it. If you don't do a Zoom workout, Pat Riley is calling up, like, what's your deal? Now, that is a different level of culture. So I think in this time, when you're pressed to the limit, they look at this as like, oh, man, this is a golden opportunity for us if we just stay focused, if we just do our work, if Jimmy Butler's sitting buying hoops for everybody so they all can shoot, and Miami making sure everyone has the weight equipment that they need at their house. This is where that culture will really push you through. So the Miami Heat, which I just believe they needed another dog on their team, like another big-time scorer. You know, I love Bam Adebayo. He's one of my favorite players in the league to watch. And I love Jimmy Butler, but they just need, like, one more guy. In this environment, they might not need that one guy. Their culture might be enough to push them through. And I know for a fact, like, teams in the Eastern Conference do not want to play the Miami Heat in any round of the playoffs because they just have those guys. And a lot of their guys on their team are young, not afraid. And Jimmy Butler, who I was teammates with him in Chicago, I've loved him from day one all the way through. All the the craziness in Minnesota and all the stuff happens in Philly, I've always thought Jimmy Butler was a guy I'd go to war with.
Hey, Brian, is that common? Are there other teams? Now, we live down here. We hear about – you're right. Listen, we hear culture, and everybody talks about it now, but I always think of the Heat. I think of Pat Riley and what he kind of developed, and they've all followed through the years. Is that common in other teams? Give me some other good culture teams.
Yeah, Toronto is one. Nick Nurse don't play around. If you come in messing around, he calls you out in front of everybody. He calls out guys like Kyle Lowry. Like last year was a little bit different. I don't think he ever was outspoken towards Kawhi Leonard and, you know, the load management thing. But I really like Toronto in that situation. I think Milwaukee has culture, but it's almost embedded in the star. Let me give you an example. When I was in Boston the year before Garnett got there, we lost a lot of games, and our culture was fine. And Doc was there, and we had a bunch of young guys. It was fine. But Garnett walks in the building, and the culture changed overnight, and it just got better and better and better as the year went along. So I think players, like a guy like Giannis, a guy like LeBron, like the Lakers have had terrible culture for X amount of years. Now all of a sudden they got Anthony Davis, and LeBron has, you know, the school of Pat Riley. He's been there. He's seen what it takes to win it all multiple times. So I think a player like that can embed culture into a team. So, you know, like I think the Lakers would be ready. I think the Bucks. I think Toronto. Boston is heading that direction since Brad Stevens' era. You know, just with Danny, you know, getting these young, talented guys. Everybody on the team, there was no tanking to get this. It was all about winning, and, you know, they happened to have those Brooklyn picks, so it kind of worked out. You can win and still get right. Your high picks. But Brad has always been – even one year, the Celtics could have lost a meaningless game, the last game of the season. And if they would have lost that game, they could have avoided LeBron and Cleveland. And you guys know how good LeBron has been in the first round, whether it's being in Cleveland before Miami, in Miami, right. Cleveland right. Now. Like, he's just unbelievable in the first round. And all Brad Stevens had to do was lose this one game, and he wouldn't do it. He's like, I'm not doing that. I'll never mess with the basketball gods. My job is to coach. Now, this guy could sit out, and that guy could sit out, but my job is to win every single game. And so I think that holds true. Miami Heat did the same thing, right? They easily could have tanked that one season, and they fought tooth and nail all the way to the end to get to a certain point, and then they lost the, you know, last two games of the season. D. Wade was hurt or whatever it was, but that's not what they are. The Miami Heat aren't going to tank for a high draft pick, even though they have everything set up for them to tank. So that's like real culture. That's where it's unwavering. They have a philosophy. They go with their philosophy, and it never changes.
Hey, one question about it. I know we're going to hopefully get to talk to you a lot more in the next couple of weeks, but what's the one thing you're concerned about when this tournament starts? Is there any one thing? Is it guys with the rules? Is it conditioning? What would be the biggest concern for you?
Yeah, easy. This is what number is the magical number in which Adam Silver pulls the plug? And I'm curious what that is. Is it 10? Is it like 10 insignificant guys? Doesn't matter, but 10 superstars, it does matter. So I'm just worried because think about what happened in that Oklahoma City game. Rudy Gobert comes down with the virus. The guy runs on the court. They call the game off. The NBA stops in his tracks on the dot, and the whole world also followed. Is there a lot of pressure on Adam Silver to make sure this thing goes through? Is there a lot of pressure on Adam Silver to say, hey, listen, the coronavirus is here to stay. We have to figure out a way to play, and we have to figure out a way to deal with this, and we have to persevere no matter what, or 30 guys come down with it, and next thing you know, it's over. So I know they're going to start their 8 games. I actually really believe they're going to get to the first round of the playoffs, and I think right after that, it's going to be really interesting. The idea that this bubble is going to protect everybody, that's just, I mean, it's a theory. But whereas we're learning right now, states are opening up and people are walking around with masks, and the numbers are still escalating at a high rate. So to pretend that we can control this thing, I think we're going to come to a point where we're just going to have to live with it. And it'll be interesting what the NBA does. Do they live with it, or do they call it off? And then what does that do to, you know, like America moving forward?
Yeah. Brian, great stuff, man. Really appreciate you coming on with us. Let's hope this thing goes smoothly, man. I'm with you. Thank you.
You got it anytime. See ya.
All right.